Hey, it's 10:05 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Conti is here with us. He's here to educate us in a few minutes, right? We always want to be educated. Never too, as my mom would tell you, 86 years old. She's studying Spanish. She speaks 8 languages, and now she's learning Spanish. You're never too old to learn more, right? And you're going to educate us?
I'm going to try. I can't speak 9 languages.
No.
I can barely speak English.
I was going to say, I often have times with the one that we're speaking on this said program. But anyway, thanks for spending the 10 o'clock hour with us. It is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, pressure cleaner at the highest level. So a weird weekend in general around Atlanta. A lot of U.S. Open conversation, which was, you know, spirited. I told you the other night, by the way, a beautiful night at Father's Day.
Thank you Friday for coming. Night. Yeah, it was great being with our listeners out there on Friday.
You want to talk about education? My 14-year-old sitting next to Mike Bell, where clearly he doesn't have children, because he talked to him exactly like a listener, like he would meet, you know, over there at
telling him about the important things in life.
He's like, "Can I speak openly?" Looks at me. I said, "Dude, whatever you want to say."
Yes, yeah.
And then Bobby's in the car. I like those guys a lot.
Oh, I know. I could tell. Like, Bobby, he looked like a kid in a candy store, his facial expression. We were sitting at different tables.
Yes.
But I was looking over at you guys. I thought, "Ooh, Bobby's having a good time."
No filter from Mike Bell whatsoever, right? Especially his emotions around the Oakmont folks, the Oakmont crowd. But then Carl Dukes, we're talking some NBA. We're talking about this series. I want to get to the Braves in a second. I will say this. Caleb and I were talking in the break. 4 number one picks for Desmond Bane.
That's crazy. And those are Orlando number one picks that are unprotected.
So Paolo Banchero ruptures his knee, and they fall into a serious lottery. They don't even get the picks.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild. If that is setting the bar, okay, we've talked a lot about what the Hawks might need to do this offseason if they're going to get over the hump and maybe be a top 6 team. If 4 number one picks for Desmond Bane, who's a good player, almost the most improved player in the league 2 years ago, his teammate won it. He's a good player, but I don't know if he's, you know, a difference maker in getting you to a championship.
I mean, he's the right fit for a team that's a grinded out defensive minded couple of stars in Wagner and Banchero. Now they got an outside shooter.
Yeah.
But yes, 4 number ones. I don't know, man.
If that's setting the market, that scares me for the Hawks. Like, if a player of Desmond Bane's caliber is going to command 4 number one picks, and now, you know, it sounds like the Durant thing is a complete no-go. Durant has told everyone where he wants to go, and the Hawks are not on the list. That just makes me a little bit nervous.
In terms of acquiring talent.
Yes, exactly.
But why wouldn't Trae Young be available? And I don't think they're going to move him. Would somebody give up 4 number ones for Trae Young? It seems like if they're going to give him for Desmond Bane,
you would think for sure.
Right?
That market's got to be.
I know it's weird,
somewhere.
Though, right?
Here's the only thing I'll say. There's a lot of really good point guards in the NBA. I think the market for a point guard is a little bit different than a market for a small forward.
Undersized point guard that can't defend necessarily versus a pure shooter out on the wing. Let's do Braves quick, and then we're going to turn, which I think is important, this Club World Cup, to understand what's going on. All right, Braves yesterday, Grant Holmes, what a strange outing. Wasn't strange. It was dominant. He had 15 strikeouts. He had a no-hitter into the sixth. He had great stuff, and he talked about the kind of numbers he put up yesterday.
You know, I tweaked a little bit of mechanics. You know, it was just more about rhythm, having a, you know, fluid rhythm. And I feel like it worked pretty well for me today. You know, I was able to locate the sliders down and get some swing and misses on the heaters in the zone, which I haven't been able to do, you know, I feel like this season, so. I felt like that was a big part of today's plan.
Guys pitched 9 years in the bigs, or 11 years, whatever it is, and has never had more than 9 strikeouts in his entire minor league career, 11 years, and never had more than 9.
Wow.
Had 15.
15 yesterday.
And he's out in the seventh, and they lose the game 10-1. Brian Snicker, knowing it's probably an offensive issue.
Just one of those things. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So it just keep waiting for it to happen. You know, I'd say these guys have done it before. I sound like a broken record. They've done it before, and they're capable, and we all know that. But we have to do it. and we're not.
You know, what do you want Snicker to do? It's such a polarizing question right now among the Atlanta Braves fan base, because you got some people who are like, he's got no juice, he's got no fire. Yeah, let's just can Snicker, and then the problem will be solved. That is not the answer.
Is Eli White going to become, I don't know, insert power hitting outfield? Like, what do they think?
I just don't understand.
These are the cards that you have been. What's Nick Allen going to become? Who's the shortstop on the Astros when they're winning World Series? What was the name? I don't know. Point being, like, what do you think is going to happen with this offense?
Here he's the one talking. He's like,
here he is talking about the lineup.
The only thing I can try is shuffling lineups, you know, and hopefully maybe different looks. But, that's why this is such a tough game to play. It's not easy. These guys make it look easy. They're really good. They're the best in the world at what they do. And anything can happen on any given day. And these guys, they work hard. They care. They do everything right. But this is a tough game. So.
Okay. I guess I was thinking of Carlos Correa, right? Astros. Like, that's not going to happen for Nick Allen. So it is what it is, right?
Yeah. That's the slogan of the Atlanta United season this year. It is what it
and
is.
It's a really weak. It's a really weak way to describe anything.
I hate it, and it's a cliche. But there is a little bit of resigned truth to it, because again, I think if you look at the group they've assembled, the talent they have, it's just a bunch of guys who have underperformed in general this year, but have still shown you glimpses of what it can be.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm still, like, maybe I'm crazy. That's why I'm still a little bit optimistic. It is only June 16th.
Listen, when you have Grant Holmes go 15 strikeouts, you have Schwellenbach, who's the most dominant pitcher last however many starts in baseball. Chris Sale, actually, he's the only guy better than him. And then you have Spencer Strider.
Yeah.
One would imagine that the road is not so
bleak. Absolutely, that is a rotation that can get you places.
Yeah,
and if you get in, it's a rotation that in a short series can win you a series.
You would think there's a 10-2 stretch coming.
Yeah.
You would think there is.
And if it just so happens to be this stretch where you're playing the Mets and the Phillies a bunch, the whole complexion of everything changes.
All right, explain to us why there's two teams playing soccer at 3 in the afternoon with titles and names that we've heard, but not exactly sure what the Club World Cup is supposed to be.
Yeah, so this is, Drew asked me a good question during the break. Is this the first ever Club World Cup? And it's actually not. This is a tournament that FIFA used to do late in the calendar year, like around Thanksgiving, when there would be an international break, and they would take the winners of all the confederations, the European champion, the African champion, the Asian champion, the North American champion, the South American champion, and then I think a wild card or two. They would have an 8-team tournament, usually somewhere in the Middle East, and no one knew what was going on. The teams that participated really weren't all that invested in it.
Did they play their best players in it?
Yes and no. And that's one of the big questions about the Club World Cup now that it's become so much bigger, and I'll get into, you know, why in a second. Are these teams going to play their main guys? Because they're in the off season right now.
Yes.
Manchester City, who's going to play here Sunday night at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night. I have tickets, though. I got the tickets. Are they going to play their main guys when this is kind of the rest and recovery period for them?
I mean, it would be awesome to see De Bruyne and Haaland at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Are you expecting to?
Probably not.
I'm not either. You know, now the marketers, you know, don't kill me on that, because they're really trying to sell this as you are going to see De Bruyne. You're going to see Messi here later this week when Inter Miami plays, and I think Messi will play. But the point is, it used to be kind of a little teeny thing that they would do at the end of the year every year. Not a lot of people paid attention. FIFA made the decision, now we're going to make it bigger. We're going to expand the field. We're going to take more than just the Confederation Champions. We're going to take some runners-up. We're going to play it over the span of a month, like the big World Cup, and we're going to use it as a test event for next
year's markets.
Big show. Mostly same markets, not all same markets and not all same venues, but mostly. So there used to be a tournament state called the Confederations Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. It was 8 teams. They were national teams. They would play at the host site of the World Cup the year before, and that would be the test event. They don't do the Confederations Cup anymore. Now they've made it the Club World Cup. Why are they playing at 3 in the afternoon today? Because the time difference is 6 hours later. It's prime time in Europe, and that's the big TV market that FIFA cares about. When we have the World Cup here next year in Atlanta, get ready. We're probably going to have some games starting at noon. We'll probably have some games starting at 3 in the afternoon on like a Wednesday.
Right.
Like when, on Wednesday, June 16th next year,
no, that's a great point.
Poland against Iran at 2 in the afternoon.
Listen, absolutely. We've grown up where the East Coast market dictates the 8:30 starts, the 9:30, the 9:15 starts. Those days are going to be over once the World Cup is North America, which is another great example. Well, what's the sexiest thing about in Atlanta coming up over the next few weeks?
I think getting Messi here is a big deal, but I think Manchester City, I mean, they have so many fans internationally. Their opponent is a Middle Eastern team that I don't think a lot of people follow, but I think there's going to be, wow, Manchester City is playing a meaningful game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's going to be really sexy.
Yep.
That'll be really, really cool.
And I'm a Chelsea fan, too. I mean, I think it's awesome that Chelsea is going to be. Yeah,
they're going to be here.
Today.
Yeah.
3 p.m. versus LAFC. It's awesome.
Yep. All right. I think we understand a little bit more. You're going to help us over the next month.
Absolutely.
Navigating.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike Connie. We'll come back. Things I learned over the weekend. We'll look back at Father's Day and all kinds of stuff happening. You know what you expect from 2 hours in the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:23 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll have some fun with things I learned coming up in a little bit. Obviously, Braves and Mets, three-game set, starting another day off for the Braves. They had a Thursday off day. Things went fine. First two games against the Rockies. They get smoked 10-1 yesterday. Mets in town for three as the Braves try to inch their way, or don't inch your way back. I've win 6-7 in a row and get us close during the All-Star break. That's coming up as well. So, like, when you think about great television and sports, right, do you consider watching the U.S. Open after the delay great television? And let me just say, a bunch of guys that we really haven't heard of, any of them, with the exception of who made a little bit of a run yesterday that was playing with
Adam Scott was there. Everybody knows Adam Scott. Sam Burns, an LSU guy.
Yeah, we didn't know Burns
as well.
Scheffler
was hanging around a little bit. John Rahm was in the clubhouse early at +4. You can't ask me. I'm a golf sicko.
Yeah, okay. So, like, who?
I'm the wrong guy
to ask.
But I'll tell you this.
Who played yesterday with J.J. Spahn?
Put me on the spot. Who played yesterday? Victor Hovland.
Yeah, Hovland. Yeah, Victor Hovland. So, which people familiar with him and Adam Scott, for sure.
Here's a great scenario of what happened yesterday. We're at the pool. Dads are doing the dad thing. Beers are flowing, cocktails, kids are all over the place.
It's Father's Day. Dad's enjoying their day.
So I'm at the bar getting a cold beer. I hear, hey, Butler, who's on top of the leaderboard? And I said, they're both tied at 2 under. Looks like there's about to be a weather delay. The dads go, perfect. Now we're going to be able to enjoy ourselves.
Right.
Go back home, turn it on, and have the golf on while we're doing dinner.
I will say,
it timed out
about 6 o'clock, they were back.
It timed out. Perfectly. 6 o'clock would have been the finishing time.
Right. Now
you
got to go back
nine. You're at the pool.
At one point, there were five guys at one over.
So I thought it was perfect.
So that was great television to you.
And then they were calling it Soakmont because so much rain came through. There's water everywhere.
They gave that.
Now they're not only having to navigate tough course conditions as it is, now the ball's soaking wet. I mean, they're having to do the umbrellas, the towels. I like seeing that. I enjoyed watching that.
And you watched. I mean, you're a golf maniac, so you're watching all of it. You watch the Golf Channel on a regular basis. The way Rusty, who I work with on Fridays, watches the Combine multiple times in old games, that's the way you watch golf.
Yeah, when Rory McIlroy made his comments to the media Saturday afternoon, I thought to myself, I cannot wait to watch the Golf Channel at 9 p.m. tonight because they're going to shred him.
Uh-huh. And did they?
They did. Brandel Chambly does not mince words.
All right, we'll have that coming up in a little bit as well. Do you consider the Oklahoma City, Indiana, great television?
Nah.
I hope, Caleb, you consider it great television, right? Who's our NBA guy. Is our folks who aren't watching missing out on what's been a pretty good series or not?
Yeah, I mean, every game so far has been really interesting. It doesn't have the star power, so it's not going to bring the casuals, which is fine. But
you calling me a casual?
Yes.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and by the way, Indiana absolutely could have been one win away from winning an NBA title. They just they lost Pascal Siakam in game four. Otherwise, they were in control that entire game.
They lost their mojo, essentially. Like, OKC finally showed up and showed the defensive
shutdown
team
mode.
Yeah, that they can be.
Yeah. So, like, I think the Indiana Pacers, to me, are the most engaging story. I love seeing Rick Smits and Mark Jackson and Travis Best, buddy of ours from Atlanta.
Rick Smits, great call.
And Detlef Schrempf and Reggie Miller. Like, there's a great market that's never won a title that would have their first moment. It'd be a little bit like the without the heartache, like if the Falcons were getting close to win a Super Bowl and you see all these ex-Falcons, you go, that franchise has been around 60-something years. They've never won a title. Indiana, similar. So I think that's good television.
Overrated, underrated, or properly rated the city of Indianapolis?
Properly rated.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean,
St. Elmo's is good. The walkability of the tunnels is whatever.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it should be. Like, underrated Pittsburgh, underrated Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Great downtowns.
Yes.
Really amazing over the summertime periods. Great festivals.
Yes.
Pittsburgh, one of the best ballparks in all of sports. Very walkable downtown now. Like, perfect.
I'll tell you.
Let me give you another city.
Okay.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Okay, this one gets a little bit sketchy. I've got cousins who live there. They live in the Myers Park area. The suburbs of Charlotte, which are right outside of downtown. 10, 15 minutes. Not 45 minutes like Alpharetta, Roswell, blah, blah, blah. Those are great areas. The city of Charlotte is overrated. Overrated. I'm
Caleb,
sorry.
Caleb, you got a thought on that? You're shaking your head.
Yeah, it's the banking capital of the country, and it looks like it, and people act like it.
And it feels
incredibly
like it.
Boring.
Yeah. I mean,
Bank of America Stadium.
So did you say overrated or underrated? What did you say?
I said overrated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The city of Charlotte
like
is
they,
overrated.
They are... Never has
Myers Park, South Park, those are great areas to hang out in. Young, pretty good restaurants, good vibe.
They're great areas to hang out in for like a 26-year-old. I don't even know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'll go back to what Caleb said, which is it's a boring city. And let me say something else. And Sandra Golden perfected the term. You're adorable. When Charlotte starts talking about Atlanta, we're coming for Atlanta. Like, are you – like.
I'll
Listen,
throw one more
it
in
was
there.
The. I'm going to use a Charles Dickens quote. I don't want to go too heavy here. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. When my son said for spring break, I want to go watch NBA basketball, I said, son, is that really what you want to do? He said, yeah, Dad, I want to see LaMelo Ball play. And I just said, did you just say LaMelo? Are we going to Charlotte? That's where we're headed? By the way, my spring break was Charlotte and Orlando for NBA markets, which saved me probably $5,000.
Conservatively.
If he had not said New York City and Philadelphia or Boston,
Dad, I want to go to New York City. I want to stay at the Gansevoir. I want to do Scalientella.
I want to see. I want to see.
Then I want to go
Jalen Brunson
at MSG.
Yes, when he said I want to see LaMelo Ball, I said that I can do. But boy, is that a lame downtown.
So let me get one more, and here's where we get really, really controversial.
Yeah.
Nashville. Our buddy Rusty Manziel loves Nashville. I've never done Broadway with the boys, bachelor party weekend Nashville. I've played there many times, Vanderbilt.
So what were you going to say? Because you haven't been in a while.
I just think Nashville trying to punch up at Atlanta is a little bit out of
their
ballpark. The new development. I've heard only horror stories about the airport.
But they have a real downtown with this action at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'll be excited.
But
to
I don't know. Like,
Gulch
we
does.
Could do – this is a good topic. We could do a little bit on Nashville. We did a boys trip there years ago. It was fine. But I would not put it in the New Orleans, Vegas, Miami category. I would not.
No, not even.
A bunch of 26-year-olds shrieking with those pedal, like, what is it? The moving bar thing they do?
The pedal pubs,
yeah. I know. I get it. It's your bachelorette party. You guys are wild, you know. Drink your what's the lemon shot like to have?
Lemon drop?
Yeah, lemon drops.
Look, Nashville can compete with Austin, all right? New Orleans, Miami, Vegas, they are
in
the upper echelon.
I mean, Atlanta's living in a weird place. Like, you know, we're not necessarily saying we're the greatest.
I think Atlanta's got everything you want.
Right.
I would say that. Am I biased? Of course. Do we have Broadway? No.
We have the culture. We have the neighborhoods. We have the restaurants. Way more sophisticated restaurants than Nashville.
Way
more. Or Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte, please. You know how long? Atlanta Eats is a one-hour show. If I were to begin a show called Charlotte Eats, it would be, you know those 15-second scroll before you watch it?
It'd be a TikTok series.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it would be.
Yeah.
A TikTok
series. It would be the definition of short-form content.
Like, underrated is the steakhouse scene in Atlanta.
Yeah, the best local steaks, period. I love when folks are like, we're going to open a steakhouse in Atlanta. These guys from New York, I told you. What was it, American Cut? They opened Buckhead.
Oh, yeah, right there in Buckhead Village.
You're going to open a block from Chops, two blocks from Bones, up the street from New York Prime and Hal's and all that. Yeah. We're, okay. Well, how's that going to go? Well, we'll show you how it went. You were in business like 2 years. Nobody ever ate at that place.
So
ever.
My buddy, who's a lawyer, he's in-house counsel for an education software company. He had some people coming in from Indianapolis. He lives up in Buford. Yep. Where do I go? Where do I take these guys? I said Chops. On a Thursday night,
yep.
You go to Chops. Here's what you order. You get there early. Get a high boy at the bar. Get some cocktails.
Listen,
have your reservation. I said, how was it? He goes, incredible. They
right.
loved it.
You can't miss.
Obviously.
Sending about the piano starts going.
Oh.
The crowd at the bar. Politicians. Beautiful ladies. Guys doing business. Like, same vibe at Chops, though, depending on time of day. Now these outside the city ones that were near you, the one near you, H&W,
right
how
there
nice
in Peachtree Corners, Frankie's. I mean, they're awesome.
Frankie's, right.
They're awesome.
Yeah, we do steak. Like, we may do that as a three strikes. What does Atlanta do better than anybody else, right?
Hot wings, obviously.
Yeah.
What is like it? My buddy who was just in town from San Diego, I go out to San Diego, it's tacos.
Gaslight
it's burritos.
Yeah.
They are elite. He's from Atlanta. You come to Atlanta, he brings some buddies. I'm like, giddy up. We do hot wings and steakhouses.
Yeah. Kevin Rathbun steak on the Beltline. Smoking a cigar, sitting on the Atlanta Beltline at Kevin Rathbun steak with all that energy right across the street. You got great bars. I mean, come on. Charlotte.
Cute. Adorable.
Charlotte.
You're adorable.
Please. I was walking around downtown Charlotte, like, looking for a great place to eat. That could have been the longest walk. That's like the Jews wandering the desert for 100 years. I could have just kept walking, never found it. Hey, we come back. We'll do a couple of things and things I learned, including the whining Rory McIlroy and a really bad moment for a broadcaster. I've had a lot of them, but this is right up there. Also play some three strikes. It's Steak and Drew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler on a Monday. The Queen is back tomorrow, I believe. Sandy, I think we're back in our attuning. Although, I don't know what's going on with Rusty.
I got to talk to Rusty.
What happened? Did he do something on the air the other day?
I just need some help.
Okay.
Know? And he's like the
he's
wolf,
so
man.
He's so connected.
He can fix it.
This guy went from working.
He's like the wolf in Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Harvey Keitel.
That's him.
Yeah. I just watched, for Father's Day, part of what I do is I get to choose, like my kid can't say no, I got to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be my third strike topic, by the way. So I told Bobby, I've done very good of late getting the family together. Like we watched Bronx Tale the other night, and Bobby friggin' loved it. Right?
Lock the doors, man.
Commentary.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave.
Yes. So True Romance is one of my top 10 movies all time. It's Quentin Tarantino wrote it before he did Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. You seen True Romance?
I don't think I have.
It's one of the greatest scenes in film history between Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken is a mafia guy interrogating Dennis Hopper. Brad Pitt's in this film. Some of the great cameos ever. Michael Rapaport, Christian Slade. You got to see True Romance.
Okay. I'll put it on the list.
So,
would Jackie like it?
Yeah. Does she mind violence at all?
Well, you know, she's very picky, and I told you this. She really liked Your Friends and Neighbors, which wasn't exactly like in-your-face violence,
yeah.
But the thriller aspect to it, the mystery aspect to it, and
she,
it was phenomenal.
Is she bothered by violence?
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple of violent scenes, but it's a great story. It's a love story. It's called True Romance.
I can sell it.
Does she like Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs?
No.
She doesn't like Pulp Fiction.
No. She'll watch Goodfellas because I love Goodfellas.
Is that too violent for her?
That's probably like right on the line. You know, she'll watch The Sopranos because I love The Sopranos.
But she's not, like, enjoying it.
No, she'll, like, look the other way as soon as Tony's about to whack somebody. You know? She's like, I just don't want to see
that. So James Gandolfini is in movie True Romance.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Okay. And he plays a goon to the mafia guy. He's not the mafia guy. He's the goon. So he goes into a scene. It's one of the most famous fight scenes in Tarantino history with Patricia Arquette, who has not aged well. Patricia Arquette in this movie's in her 20s or so, and she's smoking hot like sexy girl. She's
and
the
she
one
did
now.
That Showtime series on the breakout from the prison.
Isn't she in Succession? Isn't she in the Apple show, Severance?
I don't watch Severance. Okay. She might be.
Yeah. So she's not aged well. She's in this. She's in a fight scene.
Are
with
you allowed to say that? That she has not aged well?
I mean, listen, my wife's got
it's
a lot.
Not an
my
opinion, it's a fact.
My
is
wife
what you're
is,
saying?
Is a beautiful woman who's the exact opposite of that, right?
There you go.
And she has friends who are opposite. Then I have other friends of hers, and I said, this girl's been through it, huh? And my wife will be like, what does that mean?
Like she looks like she slept on her face for 10
no,
hours.
No. I just mean she's had a rough go of it. Right?
Gotcha.
So there's a fight scene in True Romance between Patricia Arquette and James Gandolfini that goes on for about 4 minutes. That's unbelievable. It's in a motel in L.A., and he's basically, this Jackie will not be able to get through. So okay. If you can go watch True Romance, totally leave the room for that scene.
All right. Noted.
So do you want best fight scene from a movie, or do you want what we just saying? I said I'm going to make as my three strikes. The movie that you wanted your kids to watch. Like, I don't know how to phrase that exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, Bobby, I have my list of movies with
yes,
Bobby.
You can go in any direction with that one. So I like what
it,
movie.
Though?
What movie? What movie would you be proud of your kid wanting to watch? It's like a rite of passage, a coming of age movie.
What movie is your kid's rite of passage? What movie are you showing your kids as a rite of passage, right?
I think that's fair. You know, like yesterday, my 7, 5, and 2-year-old, we sat and watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Phenomenal early 90s Disney movie that brought back
okay,
a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah, but that's not... Like,
I understand.
Like, I have two daughters.
Yes.
Nola has no interest. She couldn't even watch True Romance. Like, I'd say, can you handle violence? She said no. Sophie has watched every mob movie with me. She'll watch Goodfellas.
Yep.
She's watching Sopranos now. Her favorite movie, I think, is... What's the awesome Boston mob film? Not the
The Departed.
The Departed. It's her favorite movie of
Phenomenal.
All time.
Phenomenal.
So my daughter's favorite movie is The Departed. And then there's Nola.
That's a big feather in the cap. Mob.
Yes.
Yes.
Listen, between the sports thing and the mob movie
Damon
thing.
Damon and Affleck. I mean, it's just
My
phenomenal.
Point is, she knows how to suck up to dad.
Yes. Scorsese
when you'll go to any Georgia Tech Falcons Hawks game at the drop of a hat, and you love mob movies, Nola's got an uphill battle. And she does a great job on other stuff. You know what I mean? You'll
yes.
have one of your three that'll do that with you.
Yes.
And the other two will be like, well, I want to see Harry Met Sally for the 12th time. You know what I mean? So it'll fall either ways. But three strikes question. What does Atlanta do better than anything else? What does Atlanta do better than anything else? Underrated weekend city. An underrated weekend city. And what movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
And just, you know, for our soon-to-be callers, is Savannah an underrated weekend city? Is Charleston an underrated?
Charleston is not.
Exactly.
But Savannah could be.
Okay, Savannah could be.
Is Helen, Georgia?
You know, Blue Ridge, Georgia might be.
Blue Ridge is a good one.
An underrated
weekend
city.
Yeah, you got 2.5 days. You got one in your head, Bo?
Yeah, dude, I just don't know if it's underrated or properly rated, but Chattanooga.
I'd say underrated.
Metro area.
I'd give you underrated.
Yeah, I'd give you underrated on that.
Great
as well.
Downtown. Again, we're not talking about 6 days. I said weekend city. 2.5 days, you're going to have a phenomenal. Greenville, obviously, we've been hearing about for years as a weekend city. So 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What does Atlanta do better than anything else? Underrated weekend city. And what movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
Perfectly asked. Yes.
Thank you. So, anyway, that mine was I've a long list, but True Romance was the Father's Day edition for Bobby and Steak. Let's do a quick things I learned. You know, I never got off on making fun of guys, coaches, broadcasters, whatever, when they mess up on a podium or do whatever. Or like say, let's find the worst moments in radio and play that back for people and laugh at them and have fun. Like, I love self-effacing stuff. But like, there's a point, like it just gets old. This, however, was a moment that, and he's a really solid journalist.
Yeah, Brad Faxon, multiple, I think 9-time PGA Tour winner, a great guy, does tons for charity. He is elevated in his broadcasting prowess on the U.S. Open coverage yesterday, and he had a little bit of a gaffe.
This is how long they are, 110 yards long. Added one, there's 13 now, and 30 yards wide. One of the great images, most iconic images in golf.
I think it is. You know, we talked about that with Arnold Palmer a little bit yesterday, and the players cannot drive it over there. You can just see a little bit of them on the left side for Scott.
Okay, so
September 25th, 2016, Mr. Palmer passed away.
So he said he talked to him last night, and I'm thinking, what's that movie with Robin Williams, the Ouija board or whatever
Jumanji?
Yeah. Is there some of that going on? Or he was referring to, in his mind, Jack Nicklaus.
Right. They had Jack Nicklaus on the coverage the day before, and obviously Jack had been around the Open, having won at Oakmont and beating Arnold Palmer, so a little bit of a slip of the tongue there, and obviously the people on social media did not let him live it down.
All right, what else did we learn over the weekend? I think we learned that Rory McIlroy and his ability to not have to talk to the media, now we know maybe he's better off just not speaking at all. Talk about a wine fest.
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been totally available for the last few years, and I'm not saying maybe not you guys, but maybe more just the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, part of that was a part of it. That was a part of it. But it's not as if like at Augusta I skipped you guys on Thursday. So
wow.
Yeah, it's not as if it's not out of the ordinary.
All right. Does he want an award for?
I'm confused because to me this seems like, which battles do you want to fight? You just won the Masters. That was a career goal that had been really kind of a black cloud over you. Win the Grand Slam, get over the hump, win at Augusta. He did that. Why is Rory McIlroy now being the bad guy? I don't get it. It rubs people the wrong way. He's just somebody that has been, you know, revered in the game of golf. He is all time. Now why is he picking a fight with the media?
Well,
it just doesn't serve a purpose.
Well, they asked him, how would you react if the PGA all of a sudden started requiring you guys to do that? And he goes, that's not something that's going to happen or needs to happen.
Okay.
Like
Rory.
It's just there was a lot of whining all weekend. There was whining from people, fans, about Oakmont. They don't deserve it. I heard Sandra say, who are they paying off to get this every...
Come on, Sandy.
Every 10... they had it 10 times. Then there's whining from the players. We also learned that... who is it that smashed up the locker room?
Wyndham Clark trashing the historic lockers inside Oakmont's clubhouse?
Smashed him.
Not good form.
And there was a Shane Lowry.
who I picked in my one-and-done league, who shot a smooth 17 over through the first two rounds, wasn't even close to sniffing the cut.
Who was it yesterday gunned his clubs and was going crazy?
Rory McIlroy did.
No, yesterday, too, also. The bigger guy. I don't know which. There was so much. I don't know.
Mike Bell screaming on social media that the hockey team shouldn't be in Forsyth County. Come on, Mike Bell. Why are you whining about that?
Well, where does he live?
He lives in Noonan, Georgia.
Which is closer to, like,
Macon.
Yeah.
He might need a helicopter to get to that.
I'm telling you, my son was Bobby Shapiro loved Mike Bell and Carl Dukes.
I love him too.
It's a new favorite show, but Mike Bell had no governors. He talked to my son like he was talking to a 48-year-old man at a bar in, you know,
good for him.
Cumming, Georgia.
That's a rite of passage right there. There's no question about it. I do have some breaking news that we can throw into things I learned. Darren Revelle reports that after a year absence, Joey Chestnut will be back in the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest this 4th of July.
There is no story more boring to me than Joey Chestnut. I mean, thanks for reporting that.
Okay,
but, like, dude, I met the guy. Great. you know, you lap the competition. You know, like, I know you're the greatest eater, competitive eater ever, but God.
You're not impressed by 76 hot dogs and 10
minutes,
hot
impressed.
Dogs and buns.
It's that the story has no angles to it. It's the same. It's just like there's nobody competing. And it's
how
just,
many could you eat in 10 minutes, hot dogs and buns?
Well, am I doing the dumping in the water and doing the whole thing?
Do whatever you need.
I'm not going to do like 15.
Wow.
I don't know. Just not. I don't like that competitive. I'm not a fan of the competitive eating thing. As someone who reveres food the way I do,
You just need to appreciate it more.
Yeah, it bothers me. Okay. It's like you're wasting it.
Don't
right?
be wasteful, people.
There are people starving somewhere. Oh, the other guy that Bobby was exposed to the other night was Tinker in Kennesaw. Tinker has a pet pig at home. Bobby's like, why does that man have a pig in his house? He came home. Do you know what he told my wife? He's like, I met this guy. He's a listener. He said if we walked into his house, the pig would attack us if that guy wasn't there. Is that true, Tinker?
Oh, yeah. If you ain't got the scent on you, yeah, you're dead man walking.
What does Atlanta do better than anything else?
I think just host events, whether it's a Congress Center, sporting yep. events, and the hubs. And then
underrated weekend city.
I got to go with Helen, Georgia.
And what movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
Animal House.
Oh, good call.
Bravo.
Hey, Nick in Atlanta, what does Atlanta do better than anybody else? Or anything else?
Food.
Underrated food. Weekend city.
Anything you...
Somebody should start a TV
Jekyll
show.
Island, Georgia.
Somebody should start a TV show just about food in Atlanta. Just about dining around Atlanta.
I was just down at St. Simon's Island. Georgia Gold Coast is beautiful. The Golden Isles.
What movie are you proud to pass on to your kiddos?
It's a toss-up between Enemy Mine and Point Break.
Point Break. Utah, I'll take two.
Chris, in McDonough, what does Atlanta do better than anything else?
Breakfast and brunch.
Underrated weekend city.
Flagstaff, Arizona.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Very familiar Flagstaff. Beautiful spot.
What movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
Matilda.
I'll give another good one for my daughters, and maybe this is later on this summer. Heavyweights is an incredible Disney movie. Ben Stiller, hilarious, hilarious summer camp movie.
It's great when you have a movie you love that also you can go under 10 years old on and have the same level of enjoyment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All three of these are topics we should probably explore, right?
I agree.
Underrated weekend.
That's what we do.
We'll wait till next week, maybe when you're back. Hey, thanks, Bo, Caleb, everybody else for listening. Queen's back tomorrow. Andy and Randy are next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.